present suffering and future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When I told Wendy I was filling in preaching this morning, I told her they were scraping the bottom of the barrel. More kindly, she thought I was just the last man standing. Anyway, let's just pray and see how we go. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, and we pray that as we hear your voice today, stir us by your Holy Spirit, not just to hear it, but to heed it, for Jesus' sake. I suppose some people in our world think that life is great. Things are going well, and suffering and hardship is a long way from their experience. Perhaps they studied at university, did all right, entered a profession, or left school and got a job, worked hard, climbed the ladder. Perhaps they have their own business, they get a lot of business. Or they're just employed and they enjoy their job and it's an okay job. Perhaps they just bought a unit at first and now they own a house. They've done some renovating and they're settling down now for a while. Perhaps they're married and their husband and wife are supportive. Both are reasonably happy. And their children, well, they're doing well at school. They have nice friends. They're not involved in drugs. They perhaps even go to church and youth group. They're learning an instrument. They're good at sport and they're well balanced. Or perhaps they're just happily single. All in all, life is enjoyable, and while it's busy, they have enough to live on and more. And there's a reasonable amount of time left for family and friends or sport or entertainment, and everything seems pretty rosy. But we all know that for much of the world's population, life is a long way from being like that. Lots of people in countries around the world are struggling to find enough to eat each day, get clean water to drink, shelter from the elements, cold, heat and rain. They struggle to find medicine to combat disease or even get an education. And millions don't succeed. Millions are sick and dying at this very moment. Malaria, COVID, TB, leprosy, etc. Many suffer from violence. Even people in so-called developed countries are not able to enjoy the kind of life they see people around them enjoying. They might have got involved in drugs or online gambling. They might have mental health issues. They might suffer violence or abuse or pain and suffering from spiritual forces. Oppression, aggression, war, senseless evil done by one person against another, they're common occurrences. In fact, some of the most developed countries are some of the darkest and most dangerous in some ways. And people seem to recognise that, and they search for help to navigate life from the spiritual world. They try crystals or tarot cards. They might even read the stars in the Women's Weekly. Some people just give up and take their life because life is too hard and they're frail, or they're young and the present and the future look pretty dark. One of the characters in a novel by John Buchan, Mr. Standfast, said, "It's a great life if you don't weaken." Someone else said, "Life is a sexually transmitted disease." Or George Bernard Shaw said, "Life is not meant to be easy." No, it wasn't an Australian Prime Minister who said that first. "Life is not necessarily rosy on the third planet from the sun. For many people, there are a lot of things standing in the way of finding life enjoyable. Life just seems like a series of disasters and difficulties. You get over one, and two more turn up to make things worse. And even for the rich and famous, life can be disastrous. You can be Superman one day, and a quadriplegic the next. And even for people who seem to have everything to make life happy, to be content, in their own minds and hearts, all is not right, if they were honest with themselves." The Apostle Paul in this passage this morning called these things the suffering of the present time, our present sufferings. And what's more, the world itself seems to be suffering from the same malady. There are incredibly beautiful parts of this world. Sydney Harbour on a sunny day, the Warrumbungles, all sorts of places in Australia, around the world. There are amazing processes at work in our world to produce and sustain life in an enormous variety. You cut your finger, your skin heals up normally. Trees drop seeds, other trees grow. But the world is also suffering. Drought, fires, floods, volcanoes, disease, decay, environmental disasters caused by human causes, oil spills, etc. The passage we had read this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, the churches in Rome in the middle of the first century. When he was writing this letter to the Christians in Rome, it was a violent world to live in. The Roman Empire was a ruthless master. Disease, poverty and famine and slavery were rampant, and Christians were beginning to feel the brunt of suspicion and persecution. But what Paul was reminding them about, and the message of the Christian gospel, is this: that the world is not just a series of chance events, and history is not just, as one person put it, just one damn thing after another. Jesus spoke about the God who rules the events of human life and the world itself. He clothes the grass of the field with colour. He feeds the birds. Jesus spoke about a day of judgment when God would call all people to account, everyone who has ever lived, and give them eternal life or eternal death. I hope Mr. Putin and the people traffickers and the drug pushers have got some pretty good excuses lined up, and anyone who has ignored the God who gives them life moment by moment. Jesus said that after that day, there'd be a new universe, a new creation for those who live eternally. He called that the time of rebirth or renewal of everything. Sometimes he spoke about the kingdom of God, when God will rule and all evil and pain and suffering will be banished. Just a time of joy and peace. The good news of the Christian gospel, and it really is good news for people who have had that rebirth already in their own persons, is that that is what lies ahead for them. Jesus spoke to a Jewish man named Nicodemus about it. You must be born again. The Apostle Paul spoke about it. And Paul said, and he wrote in this letter, and Christians believe, that for God's people, all the suffering and the hardships and the trouble and the frustration and the difficulties of this present life, all the darkness, will give way to a bright future. For them, Paul said, as we heard in the passage earlier, the sufferings of the present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. We've got a really bright future. And so does the universe itself. It's as if the world is waiting on tiptoes for that new day when the people who have started their new life as God's children will be seen in all their glory. They'll be seen as God's children with all that means. And the whole world, the whole universe, will not just be renovated or patched up, but remade to be even more beautiful and more amazing. As Paul said and wrote in those passage we had read, for the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And then the frustration and the futility, which are so much a part of this world, will be done away with. And the world and human life will be as they have always been meant to be, perfect in every detail and good. The Apostle John was given a vision of this, and it's recorded in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. In his vision, he saw a lot of people clothed in white robes. And one of the elders, he said, he recounts his vision. One of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know, which basically means beats me. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That will be when the children of God will be fully remade. When Paul was writing this letter to the Christians in Rome, he was writing to ordinary people who were living in a dangerous and difficult world. And what he said to them applies to us as well. Now, God is crafting us to be like him in our hearts and minds and in our bodies, in our lives. Our bodies will die, but even our bodies will be remade. And we'll be his children in every way, including living with new physical bodies forever. He put it like this: not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's not something we can see happening now, but it is something worth waiting for. When someone becomes a Christian, when they turn back to God and ask forgiveness for ignoring him all their lives, when they ask for a new start, and when they begin that new life and they trust that Jesus can give them forgiveness for their past and hope for the future, God puts them right with himself. In some of the older British detective stories, movies, shows on TV, the criminal is sometimes standing before the judge And he says, "It wasn't me, Governor, it was him." That's the Christian gospel. It wasn't me, Lord, it was him. Jesus will take the rap for us. God forgives their wrong. He forgives our evil. He makes that promise to those that they will, people who do that, that they will live forever. It does not happen now in this life, but it will happen then. Life may seem bleak sometimes, or a lot of the time. There may be dark times for some of us. Some of us may be called on to go through difficulties that stretch us to the limit. Finding enough food, sickness, employment, housing, relationships might be strained, and we might experience hate and anger from people rather than love and joy. Some years ago, there were a Sudanese family, members of this church, Deng and Aduk. They had a number of children. They were refugees, and they had relatives in Nairobi, in a refugee camp ready in Nairobi, ready to come to Australia. Then someone took their medical records and used them for someone else, so they couldn't come. It's a corrupt world. What's going to happen to the hundreds of thousands, millions of refugees from Ukraine, many of them women and children? How will they all avoid the people traffickers, just waiting to pick them off and use them for their own ends? Some people go through immense suffering and hardship, and it might be in our own hearts and minds, if not in our bodies. Life can be very dark for us. But if we are God's children through Jesus, there is a bright future. There is hope. It's not just a possibility. It's certain. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope. And we can wait for it with patience and endurance because it's there and it's coming. I don't know about you, but there are certainly times in life when the pressures of life seem hard to bear. Housing, strained relationships, tiredness, uncertainty about health, the health of someone in your family, the results of COVID, the threat of war. Life can be bleak, but there is hope. A new day will come. That's been a part of the Christian gospel from the beginning, when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, and it still is. And if you believe he spoke the truth, then believe it will come. In the uncertainties of life, and there are many of them, there is hope. So hang on. No one's pretending it's easy. It's often hard to keep going. It can be hard to keep going in Christian faith and Christian life when things are tough or you just feel worn out. So it was natural for Paul to go on to deal with our asking God for help with our prayers. Of course, it's a good thing to bring our needs before God in prayer. He's the God who rules everything. He can help. But even then, it's hard to know sometimes what's best to pray. I suppose some things are obvious, but often it's really hard to know what would be best. Paul said in this passage that it's okay not to know exactly what the best thing to pray is. It's okay not to know exactly what to pray for. And the reason it's okay is that the Holy Spirit is praying too. And he's praying for the best things. And God hears his prayers for us. Paul said, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." We don't have to worry about getting it all right in our prayers. They get fixed up on the way, and they get answered according to the will of our merciful God who has our good at heart. We might not know how to pray for the best thing, but Paul mentioned one thing that we do know. We know that we are God's children. And for those who love him, he weaves all our experiences in life, however difficult or enjoyable, however hard or easy, into what is good for us. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's hard to understand how that can be true. We'll probably never know how all our experiences can be worked into something good. But it is, but they will. Everything. And the reason that God would be so confident about that is that he knew that the purposes of God will not be thwarted. Why does God call people to be his children? Why did he choose them anyway? Why did he choose us? He chose us to be like his son. He chose us so that Jesus would have many brothers and sisters, and we'd all bear the family likeness. And the ones he chose to be like his son are the ones he calls or draws to himself through the gospel. And the one he draws by the gospel are the ones he puts right with himself. And the ones he puts right with himself are the ones he glorifies. They're the ones with a bright future. So do you think he'll let them miss out? Of course not. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And that's why there's a bright future ahead. That's why there's hope. Because the great God of all is at work. And who's going to stop him? In this life, there's often a clear and present danger. There are dangers throughout life, sometimes disasters. There are hardships, there's suffering, just by virtue of being human. These last 2 years have been hard in lots of ways for many people, and COVID hasn't gone away yet. The security people are saying that the drums of war are beating. Who knows what will happen as world powers vie for influence and control? But for those who are God's children through Jesus, there is a bright and certain future, whatever happens. Jesus died for us on a cross so that his death could stand in for ours, so the innocent one could die for us who are not, so that we can live forever. He rose to new life as the first one whom God would bring through death to live forever. And it's not all now, but it has started. It is still in the future, on the day when God brings all his purposes for his children to completion, and the whole universe will share in the glory of it. Negro spirituals, or should I say Afro-American spirituals, are often based on the sufferings of life, I suppose for obvious reasons. In the southern states in America, they suffered immensely. But they don't end there with the sufferings. They often go on to speak about the future, because there's hope. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. There's hope. Even death could not quench the hope of eternal life which those people had in God because of Jesus. I'd just like to read two short extracts from letters sent in by listeners to a radio program in the Middle East, Persian Ministry Radio. they'd produce these radio programs, people would listen, and then they might write back to the radio station. This is just one from a young girl. As a result of the conflict in our country, I have lost everything: my hope, my freedom, and my dreams. The reality is that we face sorrow, pain, and fear every day. I do not see any future. Yesterday, I listened to your program, and you share that God cares for every individual person, even though they're sinners. I do not know this God. From what the teachers tell us, I know a God who is so angry with all mankind that if we do not pray every day, he'll punish us. If we do something wrong, he may execute us. The God you share about is very different. I would like to get to know this God, and I hope he's real, and you're not deceiving me. The second extract is from an Afghani family. Thank you for responding to my letter. My wife, children and I send you greetings and our highest respect. We all listen to your program. Every day we remember God and the words you have shared. We praise God that we're able to talk to him. Our circumstances are not good. We face many challenges and do not know how long we'll live. So we ask you to pray for us. We believe that God cares about us. There may often be difficulties in life, education, employment, housing, marriage, children, relationships. Life may seem pretty dark sometimes, and indeed, some of the problems may not go away. Sometimes we might feel like giving up and just quitting. Christian service, Christian life, or life itself. But if someone is one of God's children, there's hope. Because God has chosen us, called us, put us right with himself, and he guarantees that we have a bright future. Not necessarily in business, or in family life, or in money or holidays. There may be none of those things. But in glory, in life, in eternal life, with him and his new universe. That's what we've just been reminded about at Easter. Even death is powerless to thwart the purposes of God. And Jesus' resurrection was just the first of many. There is hope. It's worth waiting for. And he's with us by his Spirit along the way. And that's true when we leave church today and for the rest of the day and Monday and for this week and for the months and years ahead. However long we have to live, there is hope for us and our world because of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, you know that there are difficult things in life for us sometimes, for some people, terrible things, very difficult hardships to bear. And so we pray that you would call many to your kingdom, call many to trust in the Lord Jesus, to turn back to you and to ask for a new start, and grant that hope might fill their hearts and ours today as we remember the future that's in front of us because of you and your love and the work of Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Because of Jesus, we have hope in a brighter future. So let's just stand and rejoice in that and remember what he has done for us. Thank you.